Good morning. I appreciate the remarks that Preston made during the Lord's Supper. That is such a focal point of the reason why we come together each week, is to remember that sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And we're going to look at the concept today, the name of the lesson, Count the Cost. The cost to follow Jesus is high. Not everybody is willing to make that payment. Not everybody is willing to pay that cost. It is high. Jesus has set a very high price, but he is worthy to set the price because he paid the ultimate price for our souls. And whatever price and whatever demands he makes of us is worthy. It's just, and it's good for us. Let's look at some of the things that the Holy Scripture has to say about this concept of counting the cost to follow Jesus. Michael read this passage earlier during our scripture reading, starting in Luke 14 in verse 25. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them," I find this, you know, people are following him, and he stops and turns, probably catches them off guard, and he starts this discourse. He says, "If anyone comes to me," these people are following him to see what he has to say, and he's going to tell them some information. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, I want to pause there. Jesus is not saying, we got to keep things in context. Jesus is not saying to hate your mom and dad, or to hate your brothers and sisters. My sister would have used this one to hate me, but this is not saying to hate. Don't let anything come before me. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Those people had seen people crucified on crosses during that era. They, even though Jesus had not been crucified yet, they have seen it. So this was a wake-up call. Jesus is putting a high demand to be a follower of his. He goes on to say, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" This is a good lesson separately in and of itself, just how to conduct our lives. Think things through. Don't just, you know, how many people get emotional about something, jump in feet first, and they're not able to complete something? It's not a good business practice. It's not a good way to conduct your own life, and it definitely isn't a good way to follow God. To follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Get emotional. Oh yeah, I want to build a tower. Of course, I can't finish it. Got the foundation done. That's as far as I got. We've seen people like that religiously. They build the foundation, and they don't finish the tower. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Think it through. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's a strong passage right there. In Matthew 16, in a parallel passage talking about this, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What? Deny myself? You mean I've got to do something? That's a little uncomfortable. There's a number of uncomfortable truths in the Bible. God's word has a number of uncomfortable truths that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross to follow him. In Matthew 19, we have the account of the rich young ruler coming. This man, it appears, has some sincere questions, wants to follow after Jesus. Very similar to the people in Luke that had been following Jesus to hear what he has to say. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a wonderful question. I can't think of any better. What must I do that I shall have eternal life? So he said to him, what do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Simple as it, not as simple, but the answer is as simple as that. Doing it's another thing, but keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And I picture in my mind, I picture this young man that has asked Jesus this. As Jesus is rattling them off, he's thinking, check. Good, I haven't done that. Good, I haven't done that. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Check. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? He took that extra step. He asked him, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, keep the commandments. He asked another question, which ones? Jesus rattles those off. What do I still lack? Jesus will tell him. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, I want to pause right there. This is an answer to that man. This is not an answer to every single one of us to go and liquidate everything we've got and give to the poor. This man was asking Jesus what he needed to do. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus knew what was keeping him from fully serving. If we asked Jesus that same question, we might get different responses, the same end result. We have to put away anything that keeps us from fully following Jesus. In Acts 20, starting in verse 17, we see Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, and we see Paul's attitude regarding this same concept. It says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept nothing back. Excuse me, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Just want to pause real quick before we finish this passage up. Paul didn't serve until it got uncomfortable. Paul didn't stop serving. Oh God, you can't expect me. You can't expect me to continue on when certain things happen to me, can you? He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He has some ideas, but it didn't keep him from serving. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul didn't put conditions when Jesus said, follow me. When he's laying on the ground blind on the road to Damascus, and he's having that discourse with Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I will follow you as long as this, and this doesn't happen. He didn't put conditions on Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, we see some of the things that Paul went through. This is a kick in the teeth to me. This is a gut punch to me when I start complaining, oh God, you don't expect me to do this or this. Do you know how hot it is out there? You expect me to drive all the way across town in 112 degree heat? God, you do know that I've got something else competing on this day of worship. There's other things I could be doing, God. God, did you know that Aunt Bethany is in town from Des Moines, Iowa? You can't expect me to miss worshiping you because she's in town. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. And first of all, Paul is not bragging here. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. Do you want to get into a tit for tat situation with what you've done? You can't even measure up to me, Paul, much less to God. So don't be playing this fleshly checkmark game, because you're going to lose. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. God, you can't expect me to keep serving you after I've been shipwrecked. You can't expect me to serve you after I've been beat. And he just kept on. The original Energizer Bunny. He just kept on at it. In Philippians, Paul will recount, he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning right, the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. If anybody knew the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, it was Paul. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. That I may lay hold of for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul considered it all rubbish. All the things that he had accomplished, he's put behind him. He didn't rest on his laurels. He's pressing on. He counted the cost. Paul did count the cost. But we don't rest on that. We don't brag about that. Jesus said in Luke 17:10, these are the words of Jesus. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. You don't necessarily need a parade and confetti. You're only doing what you were commanded. I'd like to close with what Paul would write. The last recorded letter that we have from Paul was to his beloved Timothy. He had put everything behind him. He'd counted everything but loss. He did count the cost. The cost was high, but it was worth it. Paul would be able to write to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's including us. I want to close with asking ourselves two questions. Have we counted the cost to be a Christian? And are we willing to pay that price? Are we willing to do God's will rather than our will? The cost was high, but Jesus paid it. We have to make the decision to follow him. Frank is getting ready to lead us in the invitation song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. As we sing the song, listen to the words. We're supposed to do that anyway when we're singing. Sing with understanding. If you're not willing to do what's in the song, don't sing. Just hum along. But listen to those words as we sing. If you need to respond to the invitation, we have the opportunity. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, we can accommodate you. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin in your life, whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.